I would like to encourage you to continue to be in prayer for our nation. And I believe in many ways our nation has lost its way. It is losing its way. Especially regarding the family. The family is the bedrock of any nation. So as it goes inside the walls of a home, so it goes, I believe, with a nation. George Orwell, as quoted by Pastor Erwin Luther, said this, "In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act." So if we are telling the truth today, we are involved in a revolution, I believe, in our culture today. So the sermon title is The Two Ditches of Marital Submission, and it was meant to be a little provoking or provocative, or but I would just say this, that when we think about the responsibility of a wife to submit to her husband, that's a road to travel down. And there's a ditch on either side. And I think if we get off the road, or if we don't want to get on the road, it's because we are already in one ditch or another. Okay? So the first ditch, ditch one, is this is the belief that biblical submission means, okay, we're in a ditch. This is not the road. The idea in ditch one is it's the belief that biblical submission means putting up with the physical and emotional abuse at the hands of a husband who displays nothing of the love of Christ. So people think that submission means that. That's what biblical submission is. And I believe that when we come to the Word of God, and that's all I have to go on here. This is all I have to go on. This is not something that I dreamed up or, you know, feel, but it's 1 Peter chapter 3, which is one of the blessings of going through a book of the Bible as you go from 2 to 3 and deal with what's there. So that's where we are today. So Peter in no way endorses a wife staying faithful to that kind of marriage relationship where her health and her life is at risk. I mean, that's crazy. And that does not fit with the biblical model. A wife is never encouraged to submit to doing anything illegal, which would be violating the laws of our state, of the state, and doing anything immoral, which is violating the laws of God himself. And so that is not what the Bible calls submission. So I want to be really clear off the bat. So that's one ditch. You know, they say, well, but the other side, the other ditch, on the other hand, is that some have interpreted this passage on marital roles as the product of Peter's cultural context. So they say, well, that was Peter's day. That was the context that Peter was addressing. And they really are saying that what God has set forth in Peter is basically irrelevant to our culture today. It's just Peter's opinion, and it's outdated. Okay? And I really believe that that's going on. It's either, you know, and they're both wrong. But but wouldn't that mean that, so here's the argument. So if you're saying, if a woman is saying, if a wife is saying that I don't, that's just someone's opinion that a wife would need to submit to her husband, well then, doesn't that mean then that the laws of the state are just a matter of opinion as well? It's preference. I would just as soon go 90 instead of driving the speed limit. Someone asked me if I drove home from Ellensburg yesterday, if I came back on 90. And I said, no, I stayed under the speed limit quite a bit. We didn't run off the road. But so anyway, the argument goes, though, that if, you know, you can say, well, the context of submission of a wife to her husband is just cultural. It was just, it's an outdated thing. Well, then you have to say, so is following the laws of our lands, living in subjection to our land. Or if I go to work, if I choose to do what my boss says, it's just a matter of preference of an opinion, when I think Peter has spoken very, very clearly and plainly on that. So one of the problems that we have, and I just want to say this up front, is that I've heard it. I've met with couples who were about to get married. We've talked about the wedding vows. And I mean, laughed that we would even consider putting the word obey or submit into the wedding vows. And they've laughed about that. And because that's when they're trying to write their own vows. And it's just kind of funny, you know, it's the way our culture is saying they're really rebelling against the idea of submission. And the reason that many times they say, well, it doesn't fit in the area of marriage is because it says in the Bible, doesn't it, submit to one another in the fear of Christ. So there it is. That's my verse. Submit to one another, you know. And so it, whatever it says about marriage doesn't apply. It's like 50-50. You submit to me, I submit to you, everything will be fine, and we'll get along just fine. Until when? Until there's a problem, until there's a disagreement, until, I mean, if both of you, if both the husband and the wife agree, then whatever they decide does not involve submission. It just, we just agree. We're all on the same page. We think alike, and that's often the case. But the idea of submission comes when there is a disagreement in what we're going to do, where we're going to live, what we're going to buy, you know, or other issues. So submission is always in the realm of when we don't agree. But submission, I think, here's what the Bible teaches. I think the Bible does say, well, yeah, let's submit to one another. But now let me define that submission for you in the Bible. So he says, for example, the church is to submit to Christ. All of us. We have a responsibility to arrange our lives under Christ's authority. So we all have a job of submission. If you read Hebrews chapter 13, it says, obey your leaders. That means in the church, submit to the leadership of your church who watch over your souls, but they're going to be held in account someday for the job that they do of that. And then there's also the idea of submitting to each other in the church, and that's true. So it's spelled out for us. And of course, we're going to look at marriage. But in the family, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, you know, boy, I tell you, we love this one, Mom and Dad, don't we? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, how many of you know right where that verse is? Yeah. When you're parents, you know where that verse is. You probably whipped it out a number of times and said, we're having family devotions tonight, and here it is. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. for this is right, right? So that's part of submitting to one another. There's the parents and the children. There's the church leaders and the church. There's also in the marketplace. Since we're in Ephesians 6, let's look at verse 5. It says, slaves, and I know we can apply it to employees, okay? But employees, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear, respect, and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. So, yeah, in the marketplace, we're called to be submissive to one another. In society, we are called to be in subjection to the governing authorities, Romans chapter 13. In the angelic realms, we learn from 1 Peter chapter 3 that the angels are to be subject to Christ. And then, I want to just, I'm not doing this slowly. I'm trying to paint a big, broad picture here. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to get into the meat of this in a minute. So 1 Corinthians 3, 18, I hope. I wrote it down, but it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in his age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world and the foolishness is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness." And that's not the verse. Shoot. Sorry. Okay, let me just, my point was not to expound that anyway, but we know from the scriptures that there is submission within the Trinity, within the Godhead, that the Son submits to the Father. He obeys. Look at John 14, 28. Hopefully that one will be better. All right. I want to move along here, but John 14, 28. You heard that it was said, "I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." So Jesus lived, the Son lived in subjection to his Father in heaven. There is subjection, there is obedience, there is arranging himself under the will of the Father that happened with Jesus. So that's all I wanted to say there. So let's move along. Otherwise, we could be here all day, and we probably could if we wanted to. So perhaps we would be best suited to follow the narrow path of the clear teaching of Peter through the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that we want to see is that it says in the same way, 1 Peter chapter 3, this is the text that we're going to look at today, okay? 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won by the, without a word, by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear." So in the same way, in what same way? When we talk about submission within the marriage relationship. And this is not all women to all men. I'm just saying, this is in the family. There are responsibilities that the men have, and there are responsibilities that the women have within the home. But what he has to say here has to do with the marriage relationship. And so it says, in the same way, wives, what way? In the same way that Christ did. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. So we are called to follow Christ. He's our example of it. He is the example that we follow. In the same way, what? Well, it's the same as our call to be good citizens in this country. We are called, 1 Peter says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as to one in authority. So it's the same as our call to faithful citizenship. It's the same as our call to faithful servanthood. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. And then we're going to get now to, it's the same as our call, the call in this case of a woman to marital submission or submissiveness. So the word submissive or submit is the word hupotasso. Tasso means to arrange, and hupo means under. So it doesn't necessarily, it's not really the word obey. It's really, when we say submit, it means to arrange yourself under the man that you said I do to. You know, everything changes. Literally, everything changes when you say I do. Before you say I do, none of this applies. But when you enter into the marriage covenant, the marriage relationship, then that's what happens. And we're only picking on the women first because Peter did. So it's up to him. You can blame him. So hupotasso means to arrange yourself under, means to be subject to someone else. So if you don't like to have subjects, men, husbands, you got a problem because your wife is being called by God to be subject to you. So the implication is to follow his lead in obedience. If those words are tough, it's because we live in a culture that makes them tough. Of course, it's a very, very sensitive issue, and I realize that. So hupotasso, I'm going to have you flip with me real quickly to Ephesians 1:22. Okay, and you can write it down if you don't have time to turn, but I'm going to read them. Ephesians 1:22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. That's exactly what hupotasso means. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Speaking of Christ, but that's the word hupotasso. It means to put all things in subjection under something else. 1 Peter chapter 3, we were already there, but we're going to look at two verses in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Okay. In the same way, you wives, it's not women to men, it's wives to their husbands. Okay, that's really important. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. That's the goal. So it means And then if you look at chapter 5 of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 5, you younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. So it has to do with humility, it has to do with respect, it means to arrange yourself under someone who is in authority over you. And then turn with me to the book of Luke for a minute. We're going to see one more example. Luke chapter 2. We'll get back to Peter, I promise. Pages. Okay, Luke 2, 51. So if you back up to 49, you'll get the context. And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be about my Father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection. There it is, in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. So he, Jesus, continued in subjection under the authority of his parents. Pretty amazing example of a young 12-year-old, right? Are there any 12-year-olds here today? So I'm going to give you this really quickly, and then we're going to get into the meat of it. One of the ways that this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 was outlined was by Chuck Swindoll, and I'm not going there, but I just wanted to tell you that in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he uses the words, Peter urges wives to analyze their actions, 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. He urges wives to watch their adornment, 1 Peter 3, 3. He urges wives to check their attitude, 1 Peter 3, 4, and he urges wives to evaluate their attention, 1 Peter 3, 5, and 6. So, but we're not going to really go there. I want to get right to 1 Peter 3. So, the first thing that we need to know about submission, and I think we need to know, I'm a man, so, you know, I have to be really careful. But I'm just trying to deliver what God has said. So the first point, and I think it's in your notes. It's kind of the first third of the way down. Wives, submit to your husbands because God commands it. That's it. No other reason. There's no other reason I have. Except in, we know from the Word of God that God commands it. He commands you to hupotasso to him, to submit to that man. So it is in what's called the imperative mood in the Greek, and that's a pretty fancy way of just saying that it's commanded. The second thing is that it's in the middle voice, and when you study Greek, and yeah, that was a long time ago for me, but you'll find out as you parse the verbs that a verb can have three different voices. This is going to seem kind of technical, but it's important. Okay, the first one, it's in the active voice, so that would be where the subject does the action of the verb. So I drank the water. Okay? That's in the active voice. I did the action to the water. Okay? There's also a passive voice where the subject receives the action of the verb. So, I was hit by a car. I wasn't, but I received the action of the car. But when it comes to this verb, it's what's called the middle voice. And therefore, the action of the verb some way affects the subject. So all that means in really fancy terms is that when it comes to submission, the husband does not force his wife to submit. That's really important to understand. She arranges her life under his authority voluntarily. She does it to herself. So that's really important because we can find, I remember having a conversation with a man, and he was talking about his wife, and he had all the verses down there saying, I'm the head, I'm the boss, you do what I say, and you submit to me because God says it. Well, that's not what's taught in 1 Peter. As a wife, it's your job to arrange yourself voluntarily for the will of God under his authority, which is not always an easy thing to do. So, and then it's in the present tense, and the present tense simply means you don't just do it once, and now I've submitted once, but it's you continually arrange yourself under that man, okay, for the long haul. The biblical context, let's see if I can... The wife is to submit according to the Bible, okay? Not me. According to the Bible, the wife is to submit to her husband. It's not the husband submitting to his wife. That's maybe the hardest thing I came out of my mouth today. It may be the most controversial, but that's what the Bible teaches. So it doesn't mean that the husbands are off the hook. Believe me, it doesn't. It really doesn't. I mean, if we've studied the whole concept of marriage, men have a huge responsibility of taking care of standing in front of protecting, of leading, of loving that woman for the whole thing. I mean, so men are not off the hook at all. So don't think you are, guys. Are you laughing out there? Or are you okay? Okay, the second thing that we're going to look at is wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord because it is fitting in the Lord. Again, I didn't write this, but that's what it says, as to the Lord. This phrase communicates the biblical wife's mindset. This means submitting to the Lord by obeying him and submitting to your husband. That's pretty tough. Fitting in the Lord. This phrase communicates the biblical wife's responsibility. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 and through 24 says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Then the next phrase is submit to your husband in everything. This is going to get even tougher. In everything. Sorry, I can submit to that guy in some things, but not in everything. Okay. Everything has no conditions. Everything is not some things. Everything is not just when I feel like it or when I feel like he's making the right choices. It doesn't have any conditions. And it says in 1 Peter, even if your husband is disobedient to the word, even if your husband is disobedient, or even a non-believer, the place of a wife is to arrange herself under his authority, under his leadership. But here's something I think that might get mistaken, might get taken wrong. because I think that sometimes a wife feels like she has no voice. I just have to listen and do what he says, and I can't share my opinions with him. And that's not true. Okay? If you're a guy who tells your wife to shut up and do what you say, then you are messed up, man. Sorry. Look with me at something, and I think to me this is the clincher. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Oh, I love this. If you need something to validate that, Matthew chapter 26. And beginning with verse 39. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, here's Jesus, right? In the hour of his greatest testing in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he began to pray to his Father, knowing he had already predicted what was going to happen to him. He already knew he was already sent on this mission. He already knew what the will within the Godhead, what the will of the Father was for his life. He already knew it. But in the garden, look what he did, and saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. That's an amazing statement. So Jesus was called to surrender, to submit to the will of his Father. But even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, he voiced, he didn't just take it. He said, God, if you can let this cup pass from me, let's do that. But nevertheless, your will be done. That's submission. I mean, that is amazing submission on the part of Christ. And so, submission includes respectfully sharing your thoughts and your desires and your feelings. And it always comes not with things that you already agree on. You know, we're going to go on vacation. Let's go to the beach. Okay. Let's go down and dig clams. Okay. We're in agreement. But when there's a disagreement on how we're going to spend money or an investment or a home or something, other decision that has to be made, when there's disagreement that involves a submissive response, part of the submissive response is to share your thoughts and your desires and your feelings. And we're not saying that a woman has no voice or, you know, ability to respond. Otherwise, it would be pretty tough. All right, let's turn to the next one. That is, submit to your husband with attitudes of and actions of genuine respect. That's the tough part. It's not an outward, I'm not saying something negative here. I'm just saying it's not just a hat on your head, an outward sign of submission. But I think Peter is saying it's something that is within. So if there's a way to frame submission, I think it's with an attitude and with actions of respect. So the word phobos is used a lot in the Bible. Ephesians 5:33 says, nevertheless, let each individual among you love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she what? That she respect her husband. I believe that if a woman respects her husband continuously, that it has a powerful influence on that man to respect him, to treat him with respect. It means to show reverential, not like we would give to God, but reverential fear, and to treat him with honor. That's, I think, the biblical account. In Matthew 10:28, it says, "And do not fear those who kill the body and are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell." Respect must be shown regardless of your husband's conduct or character. I've got to tell you that. It's no matter what. It's not if. It's not conditional. God just says to respect him and have an attitude of respect for him. And then the last thing, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4, it says, let not your adornment be merely external, like braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. With the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So, I think that's enough. I mean, literally, we could go on for a very long time talking about this, and I think if the Lord knows what happens inside of our homes, he knows about the conversations you have with each other, he knows whether we have a respectful attitude toward the men in our life, the husband in our life, and I think he has spoken and not stuttered in this matter. And the only reason that we're dealing with it today is because God, through the Holy Spirit, has revealed it to us. And I would say that if it's modeled in our homes, I think if men are being the men that God called them to be, that's one roof, one part of the roof. And if the women are doing what they are called by God to do, that problems will be eliminated in many, many cases from our homes. So I don't know how this sits with you guys. I was going to bring my suitcase up here and just have it as a sermon illustration. And actually, I'm not going to preach for the next two Sundays, so you, who knows if I'll be back. I will. This is important. This is holy. In our culture, men are being disrespected all the time. Husbands are disrespected. And our culture is trying to throw the book out and to ignore the clear teachings of God's word. And we're called to adorn the gospel, to be light in a dark world. And like I said at the very beginning, in a time of universal deceit, darkness, telling the truth by the way we live, by what we say, by what we teach, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And I'm praying for a revolution in our lives. Amen? So I want to just have us all close our eyes, and I'm not picking on women, but we're talking about women here, our wives. So I'm just going to ask the question today, if there needs to be a course correction in your relationship with the husband that you said I do to, okay? If you need to change, if you need to ask God to help you put that into practice that we talked about today, if you're not there yet and you have a course correction, just tell God right now, okay? Just in the quiet of our heart, tell him and ask him to bring about the changes that he wants. Father, we come before you having looked at a small portion of your word. We believe that the word of God is God-breathed and given to us for our instruction. Father, I pray for every wife here, every future wife. Lord, I've been to a couple weddings recently. I pray for those wives. I pray, Lord, that those who know you and honor your word will really arrange themselves under your authority in regard to marriage. I pray that men would be worthy of respect. I pray that men would live in a way that husbands would live in a way that incites or arouses respect from their wife. And I pray that wives would be willing to trust you and arrange their lives under that man. And Lord, where it's difficult and where there's men who don't deserve that, I pray that you would protect wives and pray that you would watch over them and use them as a tool to bring about change in their man, their husband. So, Father, thank you for this. I think it will stir lots of conversations, and we thank you for this time together today. In Christ's name, amen.